And good morning to you. Thank you for joining us on the Bible Baptist Hour here. Pastor Heaton with you. Bible Baptist Church is located in Lupton on the east side of the road. No matter which way you come into town, you'll find us. Across from the church is a large parking lot. Big white sign in it tells you about the services and so forth. Our service times, 9:45 for Sunday school, 11 o'clock for the morning service, 6 o'clock for the evening service, and midweek is Thursday night at 7 o'clock. We have a teen time at Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, and a younger youth group on Thursday night at 7 o'clock. And you're welcome to please come and participate in any of those services or any of those events. And we hope that you'd be encouraged and get a blessing from it. Well, we're continuing our study in the book of Ecclesiastes, and we hope that you will stay with us. I don't know how many more lessons we've got, quite a few. This is lesson number 15, and we're in chapter 9, so you might want to get your Bible out if you can, please, and follow along in chapter 9. And get your pencil and paper out. Might want to take a note. You might want to say, I was wondering about that. A living dog is better than a dead lion. We'll talk about that a little later on today, and I hope it'll be helpful to you. It's kind of one of those phrases you go, what? How could that be? But you'll see. God always has a plan, doesn't he? Well, let me just say that we've been here for a number of years. We've always enjoyed it, and we hope that you've enjoyed it. And again, at the end of our program, our announcer will give you an address where you can write to us, and please consider doing so. Okay, it's been a while since we've had a note or anything from anybody, and we'd love to hear from you. We really would. It's not like, well, we're going to quit if you don't write, because that doesn't have anything to do with why we do what we do. But hearing from you encourages us that we're on the right trail. We're helping out people. That's what we want to do. And, of course, we never want to take place of the local church. We're not trying to do that. We believe in the local church, believe that you ought to go to church, believe that you ought to have a preacher, you ought to support him, you ought to support the church's programs, missions, or whatever they do. And I hope you'll consider that today. As you're thinking about listening to our program, if you haven't gone to church and you're not, you need to start. Find yourself a good Bible preaching church. Get in there and start, okay? Well, I'm going to have to stop here and let you get over into our lesson, okay? And we'll be in Ecclesiastes, and we thank you very much. Listen closely for our announcer. And we begin our lesson by reading some verses here from chapter 9, our 15th lesson, by the way. So let's begin to do that. For all this, I considered my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before him. All things come alike to all. There is an event to the righteous and an event to the wicked, and good and to the unclean, to the clean and to the unclean, to him that sacrifice and to him that sacrifices not. As is the good, so is the sinner. And he that sweareth as he that feareth an oath. There is an evil among all these things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all, yea, also the heart of men, sons of men, is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to the dead. For to him that is joined to all the living there is hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. We will get there, don't worry. For the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything, neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Verse 6, also this love and their hatred, also their love and their hatred and their envy is now perished, neither have they any more a portion forever in anything that is done under the sun. All right, let's kind of digest what Solomon has said to us here. In chapter 9, he says, verse 1, that after I considered what I had said, it mattered little what a man does or doesn't do. All of it's in the hand of God. Job put it this way, but he said unto her, speaking to his wife, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. You think about that. Things come your way sometimes you don't like. I don't know what God's trying to do to me. Well, all you want from God is what's good, right? man told me one time, he said, after I got saved, everything was perfect in my life. I thought to myself, I didn't say anything to him. I thought, well, then you must not have got saved, because what I read in my Bible, you should have trouble somewhere along the line. And we don't like that, do we? God is in charge of what goes on in our lives, whether it be good or whether it be bad. A lot of people don't see it that way. Well, they blame everything on the devil. Why would you blame everything on the devil when your Bible teaches you just the opposite? Sure, he does things. Sure, he takes advantage of us. Sure, he has devices that he tricks us and do things. But everything isn't his fault. He's not an all-powerful, omniscient person. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1, what does Solomon say? The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of waters, he turneth it whithersoever he will. The simple thing to learn here is that God is in control of your life, no matter what will be taking place. That's a hard thing for most people to, a concept they don't get a hold of very well. Why? Because they don't want to think that anything bad comes from God. Listen, there are religious people today, and I call them religious because that's what they are, who are telling you all the good things come from God and all the bad things come from the devil, and all you have to do is shoo the devil and he'll flee from you, like like it's just like, goodbye Satan, see you later kind of stuff. And it's not the truth. excuse me. To the latter part of the verse, we might say it this way. No man can determine whether something is good or bad by what happens to him. I'll explain. What it might appear to be bad, it just might be good. And while it appears to be good, it just might be bad. You say, preacher, you're confusing to me. No, I'm not. I'm telling you the simple thing here. Just because something happens and appears to be bad doesn't mean it's bad. Sometimes it can turn out to be good. There have been times people were sick and they went to the doctor and he found out something that they didn't know was going wrong. So what appeared to be bad was actually good. And we could go on with the examples, but I think you're smart enough to understand. I don't think I should have to explain everything to you. In Philippians 1:12, the Apostle Paul said, boy, well, that's not what he said, but he said, but I would have you understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather under furtherance of the gospel. Say, what's he talking about? Here's the things he's talking about, and I don't have time to turn there, but you might want to write this down and look it up. Paul said, these things came to the furtherance of the gospel. In other words, the gospel got out, the gospel got further because of these things. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 30, you need to read them. There is a list of things that he had and was going through for the sake of the gospel. Shipwrecks and beatings and whips and stonings. I mean, a number of things there. And he said that's to the falling out of the gospel. That furthered the gospel by what happened to me. You say, well, that sounds bad. And it is bad, but it turned out good. You see, you don't get it, do you? I think you do. In 1 Peter 3:14-18, Peter gives some commentary on this thought, and certainly 1 Peter 4:1 could be considered here, and I really don't have time to look these up, so you might want to write those verses down, 1 Peter 3:14-18, and then 1 Peter 4:1. Just further commentary on the thought that everything bad isn't bad, and everything good isn't good. Sometimes it's the other way around. In verse 2 and 3, we have commented upon this subject somewhat in our last lesson, so I'm not going to do that again, but if you want to look it up, look up chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 in our previous lesson, somewhere along the line there. Man is basically evil, and madness is in his heart. And that word madness is really a strange word. Let me tell you what it means. Let me define it for you. Let's put it that way. Madness. We say somebody's mad. We kind of mean this. We just don't think about it. It means dementia, insanity, lunacy, or great folly. I don't think you have to look too far in this age to see that definition being fulfilled every hour of the day. Matter of fact, I would say 95% of the stuff on TV is dementia, insanity, lunacy. I think so. You say, well, Richard, you got a bad outlook on it. Well, you think about it a while. Just think about it. What is the answer in the movies? What is the answer to troubles in your life? What's the answer when you get downhearted? What's the answer? Come on. What's the answer? Tell me. Yep. A drink of whiskey, isn't it? Show me a verse in the Bible that says a drink of whiskey. Oh, yeah, I know about Proverbs. Drink of whiskey solves all your problems. I thought the problem solver in our life was the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't realize it was a drink of whiskey or a liquor. It's insanity. It's lunacy. Now, Solomon covers all the bases as to whom this includes, the good, the evil, the clean, the unclean, and so on. After all is over, he says, they go to the dead. That is, good, bad, ugly, pretty, clean. It matters not. We all die, and we all go to a hole in the ground. That's where you're headed. You say, preacher, that's pretty rotten. No, it's just Bible. It's just truth. Tell me, when you drive down the road and you drive past the cemetery, what do you think? Now, consider verse 4 this way. What is use as a dead lion? He might be king of the beast when he's living, but he's nothing when he's dead. In that sense, a living dog is better. A dead lion will do you no good, but a living dog can help you. Well, I mean, it's just a passage. It's what it is. He might be king when he's alive, but he's a hunk of fur when he's dead. In that sense, that little puppy dog, that little chihuahua that's barking his head off, you might put it this like this way, a little that used to be a whole lot better than much, which is never used. What good is much if you never use it? Hey, I'm talking to people that have garages and sheds full of stuff you don't use. What good is it? It takes up space. One day you're going to go out there and the mice have eaten it up and you're just going to throw it away anyways. See, Solomon's got it right, and people don't like to think he does, but Solomon's got it right. I mean, Ecclesiastes is the thoughts of the preacher from the human standpoint. And from the human standpoint, he's got it right. He's got it right. He says this. He says, the living at least know what's going on, while the dead know nothing. Solomon is viewing it, of course, exactly like any man would from the standpoint that we see a man lying in a casket, and he says nothing, feels nothing, is doing nothing. Then we assume he's better off. Any saint knows this is not true because of what the Bible teaches about our view of we see where eternity takes us to. You see, we look in the casket and we say, well, they're better off now, they're not suffering anymore. Well, maybe so from the standpoint of the human flesh, but not for the eternal soul. See, that's the part Solomon doesn't get in here. Why? Because we don't see that. Our view is strictly from the standpoint of a man. Why? What else could it be? You never went out into eternity and come back, did you? Nah, don't give me that story. We assume that a person's better off, but that doesn't always mean that's so. The thought concerning the dead is carried on to verse 6, where he tells us that love, hate, and envy they once showed while they were living, it is no longer any power or consequences now that they're dead. These feelings, while they have no impact or power upon what is said or done again on this earth. Look at verse 7. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink the wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garment be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, which is given to the end of the sun, all the days of thy vanity. For that is thy portion of life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Now in these four verses, Solomon tells us a number of things that he or she, whoever it is that's reading it, needs to do in light of the fact that once you're gone, all of your enjoyments and accomplishments are over. So let me go over these. We've got about seven of them. I hope we can get them done in this lesson. He says, go thy way. So it's time to do something. Quit wasting time sitting around watching TV, playing games, and doing nothing. I didn't say it was wrong to do that. I just said quit wasting time doing it. You never do anything else. I told my wife, I said, when we were kids and we got a day like today off of school, we'd get together and say, let's go up to Tucker Hill and let's sled and let's build a bonfire, and we'd take along some marshmallows and some weenies, and we'd have us a time. How many kids did you see go sled riding today? That's what I thought. How many kids have you seen outside? Yeah, that's what I thought. You know what they're doing? They're sitting on their behind playing a game or watching TV and getting nothing out of life. I told my wife some things that we did as a kid, and she just chuckled about it. Never thought about it. When I was a kid, I didn't even think about it. It was just what we did. Eat thy bread with joy. Quit mumbling about the food and grumbling about it, the way it was cooked and who cooked it and who took care of it and too much of this in it and too much of that in it. Think of the multitudes of people who either don't have the food you have or else are not able to eat because of the physical or mental or, medical problems. I know a bunch of people across the globe right now that would love to have the food that you stick your nose up in the air at. Yep. It says, drink thy wine with a merry heart. The thought is similar to the preceding one. Why all the whining, no pun intended, have a merry heart about life. Quit griping all the time. I get sick and tired of hearing me. Everything doesn't go my way. Oh, shut up. Let thy garments always be white. Coupled with that thought could be made on this statement. First, black is the color associated with mourning, so don't go around with a sad, downcast look on your face. Second, live a clean life, one with no regrets. Keep it clean. Keep it clean, young people. Keep it clean. Mom, Dad, keep it clean. Number five, let thy head lack no ointment. Ointment in the Bible is a picture of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 133, verse 2 tells us that it's also associated with unity. So keep some unity in things, okay? Live joyfully, number 6, live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest. Now, I've got more to be said here than we've got time to say it, but listen to me. America's full of people who are unhappy in their marriage. It goes both ways. The husband is not happy with his wife, and so the wife is not happy with her husband. I just spent some time with somebody on that very thing. Listen, my wife and I haven't had a perfect marriage for 56 years. But, boy, we love each other. And we try not to spoil the day with a sad look on our face. We try to be joyful. Doesn't always work, but we try. What's number 7? Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might. How could anyone miss that implication in that statement? I hardly ever hear of anyone who is happy with what they have to do. Rather than do the best they can with the present job, they're always trying to find something else. Paul says it this way, whatsoever you do, do it heartily unto the Lord and not unto men. Colossians 3:23. Remember, you're serving the Lord, not yourself, in all that you do. I know people who got one job and then they get another job and they get another. Well, I just don't like this one. Listen, find something and put your hand to work, would you? No one is going to be able to convince God that they had a dumb job or that they have been doing something else would have been better when it was God that gave them the ability to do what they quit doing. Why don't you think on that a while? Verse 11, I returned and saw under the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, rather. Neither eat bread to the wise, excuse me, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men without understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth all. For man who knoweth not his time is as the fishes that are taken in evil net, and as the birds that are caught in a snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. Well, verse 11 says it all. You probably remember that the fables that you used to read about certain hare lost a race to the turtle because he thought his speed would allow him to set and rest. Solomon says, time and chance happens to all. Don't think for a moment that you're exempt from everything that happens to the other guy. Samson was a strong man, but it became his downfall. Solomon was a wise man, but it got the best of him. David was a man after God's own heart, but it made him out of the same flesh as the Philistines, which he conquered. And yet their habit of making a woman caused him great headache. Taking a woman caused him great headache. Solomon then takes an analogy between men and animals. Just as a fish that's caught in a net or a bird that's caught in a snare, so men know not the time when the thing will happen to them. We just got word this morning to pray for a family. Young man, just dropped dead. You don't know. You have no guarantee just because you're young that you won't die. No more than just because you've been healthy all your life that you might not end up with some health problem before it's all over. None of us makes plans until we are 70 or 80. When to get to that point, we're still not making plans for it. Why? We just don't. You just don't. It might come at 10, it might come at 18, it might come at 25, it might come at 30, and so on. Why? Nobody has a guarantee. Lesson 15 and chapter 9 for the most part, although we will go into chapter 9 when we get to our next lesson. I hope it's been helpful to you, and you'll listen closely as our announcer will give you an address at the end of this program. And if you would take the time to drop us a note, let us know if we've been helpful to you, or if you've learned something or you have a question, be glad to help you if we can do that, all right? So thank you very much for being a part of the program. You say, what did I do? You listened. That's being a part, see? Whatever you do, put your hand to it and do the best you can. So be sure to listen. Tell somebody else about the program. If it's been helpful to you, if it hasn't been, obviously don't waste their time by telling them something that they can do that they're not going to enjoy. All right? All right, so that's lesson 18 in the book of Ecclesiastes. We hope it's been helpful to you. And right here in just a few seconds, our announcer will be here, and he will give you some information on how to get a hold of us. And we will look forward to hearing from you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listen by writing to The Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.